I don't know why I'm laughing.
It's 1 p.m. on a school day, and a group of wetsuit-clad Mount Edgecombe High School students are splashing around in Indian River. But they're doing so with a purpose. They're collecting data in collaboration with the Indian River Working Group as part of their field research class at MEHS. Harlan explains.
We're just collecting rock samples to check the sizes. We're using this handy-dandy measuring rock measurer.
The handy-dandy tool is a thin metal frame with square holes of different sizes. Working in groups of two, students grab rocks from the riverbed and measure the diameter of each rock they pick up. It's not easy. The rocks are slick.
When you're collecting the sample to keep from, you know, getting an to keep from getting a biased sample, you want to take a step, place your foot, and then almost fell. Place your foot and then pick up the rock right in front of your big toe, or just the same spot every time.
Students are repeating a study done in 1995 by Steve Paustian and Tom Hardy for the U.S. Forest Service. The data MEHS students collect will have serious implications about the river's current health. Hydrologist Jen Hamblin says you can trace the problems with the Indian River watershed back to a military project beginning around World War II.
Among other things, they needed gravel to be able to expand their operations, and so they actually had to mine gravel from the bed of the river near where it meets the estuary.
Now there's a big hole at the river's mouth that the river is constantly compensating for, trying to fill in with sediment by cutting sharply into its banks. Hamblin says the river is deeply entrenched in some sections, with the banks often 10 or more feet above the river bottom.
Rivers like to move. They like to change their pattern. It's not really possible for the Indian River in its lower watershed to move or connect to its floodplain. And if it could get up in the floodplain and flood those areas more frequently, then there would be more exchange of nutrients between the river and the floodplain.
And the river moves so quickly, it's washing the smaller gravel away. That's a big problem for salmon.
There's a lot of pretty big rocks in the bed. It's mostly cobbles and bigger, so like 6 inches in diameter and size. And if you think about the size of your average spawning salmon, which might be about a foot and a half long, and how much they weigh compared to these rocks, it's pretty hard for them to find good places to spawn in this kind of setting.
It had been over 20 years since Paustian's study when MEHS teacher Chola Mole took her field research class out to the river with Hamblin and members of the Forest Service.
And they were talking to us about all the different impacts on this river. And one of my high school students was standing there, and in the way that all high school kids have, they said, well, what are you going to do about it? And so that's actually why we're out here doing what we're doing today, is because it kind of got all the adults to look around and say, well, yeah, let's do something about it.
So they've measured off a section of the river, the same that Paustian used in 1995 to collect his data. Each team is supposed to collect and record the sizes of 100 rocks, but Corey and Caitlin are literally diving right in.
Counted at least 120. Yeah, we're going further, but it's really fun. We're getting really into the water. It's really awesome.
All the T6s. This is a large woody debris, so that was.
Back in the classroom, students start to break down the data they've collected.
So we've got all the calculations done, and now we just need to make a graph so that hopefully we can visually see what that 50th rock looks like.
Once they've recorded everything, they're making graphs, charting the rock sizes, and comparing their data to that from 1995.
53% of the rocks in the river were 60 to 90 millimeters across.
And they won't just turn in their assignments at the end of class. They'll present their findings alongside scientists at the next Indian River Working Group meeting. Although it's a class, it's the real thing.
And so this is one way that we could do science. And so that's what they're getting to experience. All the messy, crazy ways we do science.
Whether pebbles or cobbles, these students are learning that science rocks. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.